Jambo. For those who do not know it, that is how we greet in East Africa. We say Jambo. And Jambo simply means Jambo. So let me hear you again. Jambo.
Jambo.
I believe that that is how the Lord Jesus will welcome us when we go to heaven. My wife and I are happy to be with you today and worship the Lord together. And we thank God for a long relationship that we have had together for a long time with Paul Chihamba, who was here before, and Tim Shaw, who are with us for Congo Initiative. And so our relationship goes a long way. I'm just a little bit sorry that you guys have been late to church today. My people, our people in the Democratic Republic of Congo, came to church 9 hours ago. How wonderful it will be that day when we will not have to wait for 9 hours. When we all go to heaven and worship our Lord together. That time it will not be the Congolese church or the American church or the Baptist or Presbyterian. It will be the Church of Jesus Christ. All together. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the end of the age. Thank you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for your word and your command and for your presence. We thank you that you still want to speak to us today about that message of many years ago that's still fresh and new. So here we are, Lord, your people. We listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the early times of the 20th century, when the Belgian colony masters were making roads in the eastern side of Congo, through the forest, a man was working to make roads, and one time he took his younger brother to go and take his pay, and the younger brother heard that when they passed, he heard that there was a white man who was around there who was making the local people, was teaching them how to make a piece of paper talk. When he came back, the young man said to his brother, "I want to stay here and learn how to make a piece of paper talk." And the brother said, no, the white man, they eat human flesh. So no, you'll not stay here, we will go." And then he insisted and he stayed there, and the man left and went about 15 miles away to the family, and the family asked, "Where is your young brother?" And now he stayed there where the white man is and learning how to make a piece of paper talk. And the brother said, "Go and take him." And they went and took the young man, took him home. And 15 miles away, after a few days, the young man ran back to the place where the white man was. And he was just eager to make the piece of paper talk. And he learned how to read and write. It happened that the white man was a missionary who had translated the Word of God and was teaching the local kids to read from the Word of God, and the young man accepted Jesus. And he was eager Because he learns that only Jesus Christ, not the gods. And you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. You don't believe, you go to hell. You suffer forever and ever and ever. And the wife of the white man took the young man in the house and started helping them in the house and cleaning the house. And during the break, the young man would go in a bush and read and read and read and pray and pray and pray and realize that his own people don't have that message. And he told the wife of the white man, I want to go to my people and tell them about this Jesus. And the wife said, no, I don't want you to go there because you are here and helping me to do the work so that I can go and teach people. But that message was so strong in him until he had to go to his people 15 miles, young as he was, and he taught them there that only Jesus can take us to heaven. You believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. And you don't believe, you go to hell forever and ever and ever. And his family members accepted Jesus. And there was a new church with a new pastor, a young man. The missionary heard about it and went and picked him. And this young man this time was not going to work in the house, but was to be a pastor with him. That young man pastored that one church with the missionary for over 60 years in one church. He retired twice. That young man was my father. And that missionary came from your land with the African Inland Mission. With missionaries who came from the Presbyterian churches, the Baptist churches, and the Methodist churches. And went to my people, and many of them died in my country. I want to stand here to say thank you. Thank you for sending your people. The journey is still going on. We're still doing that today together. The church in Africa today, in Congo today, is a church that believes in the Bible. My mother believes literally in the Bible, a Bible-believing church. It's a church that is a praying church. Any given Saturday, people are worshiping and praying overnight in many of our churches. And it is a church full of hospitality. But it's also a church that is living in the oven of suffering, conflict, and exploitation and violence. It's the history, my country is the history of violence and conflict. From 1996 to 2002, seven African nations came to Congo for war. And it's estimated that over 5 million people died. My big brother died during that time. My younger sister died during that time. My niece was killed. She was pregnant and opened her womb. And my wife and I, we were working in Congo, in Kenya. We said, let's go home. Let's be with our people. We came up with a group of 12, 13 Christians, Congolese Christians, and we asked ourselves, why would people be so evil and kill and destroy? And question number two, where is the Church of Jesus Christ? After over 100 years, what impact is the Church of Jesus Christ making? The third question is, what should we as Congolese Christians do church today? So that our presence as Christians is felt not only in the four walls of the building, but in the community, in the country. And we say to ourselves, the Lord says, ask me and I will give you nations as inheritance. Said, Lord, we don't want to inherit nations. We want to inherit one, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And help us to redefine Christianity. The meaning of Christianity is for us as Congolese. I believe that the core Christian teaching remains the same through time and space, but is always adapted and confronted with challenges of every context, of every people, of every situation. And when we Christians stop redefining the gospel for our people, the church becomes dead, irrelevant. I hope you are doing that for your nation of America. I hope as you are going to take a new pastor for this congregation, you have studied your strengths as a congregation and your needs, and you have come up with a profile of someone who will lead you toward this redefinition of the gospel for this context. Three big areas where we find the necessity of redefining Christianity for our people in Congo that will make a difference if we can make it. One is redefining, understanding our Christian identity. Understanding and redefining our Christian identity. Go to all nations, says Jesus Christ. All the nations. Teach them. Make them disciples. That message is creating a new community, a new unity out of many, out of diversity. It's a command that Jesus is giving that needs to be obeyed. It must be obeyed. It's creating a new identity, a new community, a new sense of we, a new we, where there is a strong sense of belonging, of allegiance, and acceptance of each other in that community. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the sense of the body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of that body of Christ. We in Africa know about the sense of belonging. We have tribes. We love our tribes. We feel a strong sense of identity in the tribe, a strong sense of belonging. We belong to each other in the tribe. We have allegiance in the tribe. We defend the tribe. In Africa, we say, I am because we in the tribe, because we are. And because we are, therefore, I am. You can be educated, you can be rich. You want to belong to your tribal community. There's a strong allegiance to the tribe. But in Congo Initiative, we are saying, I am because Jesus is. And because Jesus is, therefore we are. And Jesus is creating that new identity in us. We are not doing away with our tribal diversities, our races, our gender. But there is something that is strong. And we missed that in our churches in Congo. We come to church together, but really our allegiance is first to our groups, to our tribes. Jesus said, I'm building a people of power. And we are that people. And if we can recapture that new we, how strong will the message of Christianity be? See how they love each other. In Congo Initiative, we call it Tuko Pamoja. It's a Swahili word. Tuko Pamoja means we are together. We have a part of us in Congo, part of us in Europe, part of us in America, and all of us, we say, two copa moja. And those in America will tell you this is what we are doing. It's not we in Africa, in America. It's we in Congo and them and all of us together. This is who we are and what we are doing. In our context, when you say two copa moja, you mean a lot. You know when we use where we use it? When you go to visit someone who is sick. When you go to the funeral. But after sitting there for 3 hours, 5 hours, doing nothing, did I say doing nothing? No. With the ministry of your presence, and you have to live and go, you tell people when you are living and going, you say, tuko pamoja. What that means is say, even if I'm living, actually I'm not living. My mind is with you. My thoughts are with you. I'm part of you. How is that tuko pamoja working out in American church? How is that tuko pamoja, the people, the disciples together, regardless of the diversity, how is it working together in the First Presbyterian Church? It is power. Justin is here living in this area and working for us. When we relocated to Congo with my wife and my family to start Congo Initiative, Justin came and lived with us for 3 years. And people used to call Justin around there, Muzungu, Muzungu. Muzungu means white person. And Justin would say, my name is not Muzungu, my name is Justin. And then Eric came from America. And they start calling him Justin. And Heather came from America. Heather, of course, Heather. And they start calling her Justin. And no, I'm Eric. I'm Justin. And today, more and more people from here go to work with us. No, that's not Muzungu. It's Eric. It is Heather. It is Bethany. Last year, I officiated 2 weddings for our Congolese staff with American staff. When our students finish their studies, they go home, they don't find women to marry in their tribal group. They come back and find those who speak the same language to be married. It is the power that the church has to regain. The second area that we discovered with the Christian identity is the Christian mind. The Christian mind. The Bible speaks a lot about the Christian mind. It is the intellectual faculty, the reasoning, the capacity to understand. Even the Bible, the power to reflect and the power to recognize. And in Proverbs, the mind creates plans. The mind has desires. The mind can be defiled, but the mind can also be renewed. And God has a particular relationship with us because of the mind. And I have many verses on that. God searches the mind, says Revelation 2:23. God tests the mind. God puts his law in the mind, and God gives special gifts to mind, to discerning, or to do some skills. And the Christian mind must be engaged. And in Congo, we discover that we do not mind much about developing the Christian mind. We mind much about the soul, the heart of Christians. So we focus on evacuation theology. How many believe in God? You are going to heaven. But the problem is that after believing God, we don't go to heaven immediately. We still remain on earth. So we are on earth, heavenly bound, but earthly irrelevant. And that's why in Congo Initiative, we also get involved in the transformation of the mind, starting with the education in primary school, in high school, and the university, and the reflecting mind, because our education is just memorizing, not reflective. We are teaching people to reflect, to use their mind, to create solutions, and to be involved with the mind in the community. So the developing of the mind for the Christian use is very important for us there. And thirdly, in redefining our Christianity in Congo is the Christian engagement. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, he's talking about avoiding the world, but at the same time, engaging in the world. And we discover that in our churches in Congo, we emphasize a lot on avoiding the world. Getting out of the world. We are not of the world. But we do not know how to engage the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are teaching pastors to teach their Christians how to engage into the world, the students in the university how to engage in the world, and many aspects of our areas. We have rewritten the curriculum of the whole university, and we are doing the sharing the land on how to reform the land, the law of the land of the whole country. We have rewritten it. We are creating entrepreneurship for the young people. My wife is working with women who are disadvantaged and kids who are disadvantaged and teaching them skills so that they can earn life. You can see some of the things that she has brought there, that women who could not earn anything now can make bags, can sell, can get something for their lives. Redefining Christianity is our obligation in time, in different times, and in space, in geographical space, so that the church can be the church of Jesus Christ effective into this world. I believe that it can be done better only by natives, only by nationals, who understand the challenges of their context and who take the Bible on one hand and who take their context on the other hand and who say, how do we be the light for the transformation of this church? The Jerusalem church did not want to do it. And God had to send persecution to push the church out of the four walls, so that we be out there with a new identity, with a transformed mind, and with an engagement that the world is waiting. Father, this is our prayer. Jesus, help us to go out there and be that church. In your name we pray. Amen.